Galatians chapter 6 in your Bibles this evening. Galatians chapter 6, when Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, he was not put there by the drunks and the thieves, the prostitutes of his generation, but rather he was put to death by the religious people. It was the people who felt he interfered with their religion. They had a system of salvation based upon your nationality and keeping a long set of rules. When Jesus came, he said, "You can't keep all the rules. They are nothing more than a mirror to show you your sin, but they cannot take the sin away. You are saved when you put your faith in me." He made a scourge of cords and drove the money changers from the temple, and they hated him for that. They hated him for healing people on the Sabbath. They hated him for claiming to be God. They hated him when people began to leave a system of dead works and started serving the living God. Those who hated Christ also hated the Apostle Paul. We find Paul at the end of his rope. He is through arguing, he is through reasoning, and he comes to the place where he says, "Leave me alone." So Galatians chapter 6, and let's begin reading in verse 11. "Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand." The reason he talked about a large letter is because his eyesight was bad and his hands had been broken so many times that he had to write like when you were in first grade and you had your tablet and you had to write everything in great big letters. That's what he is talking about. "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." I have three thoughts about what Paul said. He said, "I'm committed to the cross, and I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." So first of all, the marked man. I bear. Paul was always true to his calling. He never turned back. He delighted in calling himself Paulus Doulos Jesu Christo. Paul, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. The University of Glasgow in Scotland. A man who had left from Glasgow to go to Africa as a missionary stood to address the student body. students looked on him in seriousness. His hair was burned and crisp from the tropical sun. His body was wasted and worn from jungle fever. His right arm hung limp at his side. He had been attacked by a lion. When he walked quietly and stately to the podium, every student stood in silence in one accord. They saw in his body the marks of his commitment in life. His name, of course, was David Livingstone. Those who followed Paul and hated him had never seen the Lord. They had never won a soul. They had never wept over people. They had never planted a church. All they could do was hate the Apostle Paul. And ladies and gentlemen, let me simply say this. Hatred is a horrible thing. Second of all, his marks. What were they? Well, outside the city of Lystra, Timothy's hometown, the people stoned him and left him for dead. He was not moving. He was at the point of death for being stoned, bruised and broken, and his hands broken. When Paul was in prison, he was always chained to soldiers at the wrist, and your wrists would suffer because of all the chaining that took place. Had you looked at his back and his legs, you would see deep scars. He had been whipped 5 times. 3 times he was beaten with rods until he was unconscious. His head would have been marked by blows and stones and rods. Let's read about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse 23. Each time I read this, it is deeply moving to me because of Paul. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, having been beaten above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods to the point of death. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I don't know where it affects you in this sequence, but at some point I'll look and say, it has cost me so very little physically to serve the Lord, but not the Apostle Paul. Back up a little bit to chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians. And here's what he said about all of that. For which cause we faint not. Of all that I've been through, it's not going to cause me to change anything. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And then he says of all that we have just read, for our light affliction. Which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Third, ladies and gentlemen, the meaning of the marks to Paul. First of all, it meant ownership. Paul was a bond slave to Christ. He was committed. A bond slave was something that you did. It's not anybody made you a slave. It was something that you did. You became a slave to someone else because of your commitment. For the Apostle Paul, it also meant suffering. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. I cannot fully comprehend the depth of Paul intellectually, spiritually, and his loyalty. But I know it bothered Paul that he had persecuted the church. And you see it in his writings. Far more than just padlocking a church door. It went way beyond that. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And let's read verses 12 and 13. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. Before Paul got saved, he was a blasphemer and a persecutor. And injurious. That word injurious means this. He loved to hurt people for the sheer glee of seeing them suffer. He loved hurting people. He loved hurting Christians. And he says so. And then he says, but I obtained mercy. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. All his sufferings were not to be compared to the hurt he had caused the church before salvation. And you know what, folks? All of us need to apply that to our life. Before we really got saved, maybe you grew up in church, but you had no real heart for the church until after you got saved. I was 19 when I got saved, but I was in church every Sunday and every Wednesday night all my life. But I was just there, and everything changed when I got saved. And then there is surrender. For Paul, those marks meant surrender. Go back to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 that we read a minute ago. And look at verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He will say in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Three things about a crucified man, and I will close. First of all, he makes no plans himself. Someone else makes all the plans for his life. And he said, I am crucified with Christ. He's the one that's calling the shots in my life. Second of all, you only look one way. There's no sense in looking back. If you're fixing to be crucified, what you are looking forward to is the fact that very, very soon you're going to be with God in glory. And then third, you give your all in the present. That's all you have. You don't have long to live if you are a crucified man. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And look at verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived. I don't have it all figured out. I just walk by faith. I'm a crucified man. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God bless you, Paul. Let's pray. Father, how very thankful we are for your word and the great stories about the great men and women who gave their life for thee, and for many of them, how much it cost them. For all the disciples, except for John, who died of old age on the Isle of Patmos. All the rest died horrible, horrible deaths. And so, dear Father, we are thankful for their testimony, and we're thankful for their example to us. And Holy Spirit, thank you for taking these stories and making them so very real to us that when we read these, it does something inside. So, Father, thank you for allowing us to read these stories. And then, dear Father, to take heart and to crucify the flesh that we have. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for our home in heaven. Thank you for good and godly friends. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies.